Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we looked at this text last Lord's Day, beginning at verse 1, about James writing to these Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad, and all of the different trials and difficulties that they were going through, James writes to them to encourage them to continue in the faith. He encourages them as those who profess to be believers, those trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, to continue to persevere in the faith, knowing that God is working in them to will and to work of His good pleasure. James is really teaching them, isn't he, a theology of suffering here. And suffering is something that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to learn from the teaching of Scripture. And Jesus said if they persecuted Him, they will persecute us. And Jesus also said that all those who desire to live godly in this world are going to suffer tribulation. Paul said the same thing. In John 16, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation as the people of God. Paul says the godly will suffer persecution. James or Job says that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man who is a few of days is full of all kinds of trouble in his life. And we as the church need to have that theology of suffering, to know that these things are going to come upon us in this life, and not to have a crisis of faith when they do come. So often, that is the case where people have a crisis because something of a trial, of a difficulty, of a suffering, persecution, tribulation comes upon them. They struggle with their faith, the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Peter says, beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though a strange thing happened to you. 1 Peter 4:12. I say today in the Church of Jesus Christ, the fiery trials that come upon the saints, they are considered as a strange thing. Why are these things happening to us? And when you go through trials and difficulties yourself, do you ever cry out and ask God, why? Why? Why are these things coming upon me? Why me, O Lord? Isn't the Scriptures very clear that we are going to suffer in one way, one shape, or one form in this life? You know, this world is full of suffering, and the Christian does not escape it. We also will go through the different trials. And James gives the test now of true Christian faith. And he does so in relation to the trials that come upon us in this life. And the question is this, beloved. When the trial comes upon you, does it humble you and bring you closer to the Lord in His Word? Or does the trial come upon you and you become bitter and hardened in your heart and move further away from the promises of God in Scripture? It's only one or the other all the time that has taken place in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. Either you are being humbled by your trials and your tribulation and your persecution, and you are bowing your neck more and more to the yoke of Jesus Christ and understanding who God is and who you are, or your heart is becoming hardened and you're moving away from our God. And that's the test that James gives of living faith. Whether or not we are those that are submitting to the trials that come upon us. You know that not all people who confess to be believers are truly believers. We have the parable of the soils in Matthew 13, don't we? The parable of the soils is very clear. Now, there are not four types of ground there that are listed. There's two types of ground. There's the good ground and there's the bad ground. The bad ground is manifested in three different ways: the thorns, the seed by the wayside, and the stony ground. And so we know that not everybody who hears the Word of God is growing as a Christian. Some of that, the seed is choked out and it dies. Paul said in Romans 9 that not all of Israel is truly Israel. Not all those who are confessing to be truly of Jesus Christ are of Jesus Christ. And so the continual tests that come to us. Now, even in school, even as it is in the church, we don't like tests. But the Scripture calls us to test ourselves. If you remember from last Lord's Day, we are called to examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith, whether Christ dwells in us or not. And it's interesting, as you read through the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was called to be a watchman on the wall. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, "This is what you are to say to the house of Israel. And when you warn a wicked man of his wicked ways and he does not repent, then his blood I will require at his own hands. But if you do not warn the man of his wicked ways, then his blood I will require at you." So there's a responsibility for the watchman on the wall, the shepherd, to teach the people and to tell them and to call for repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what James does in our text this morning. Now, beloved, if our perspective is right, you can endure any trial in life if your perspective is right. Now, let me give you three things that the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Three perspectives for you to have. Number one, that we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. You need to know that. Secondly, as Paul says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who could be against us? You need to know that. And the third thing is to know what Paul says in Romans 8:37, that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You need to know this. You need to know it before the trial comes upon you, that God is working this together for your good, even if you don't know what it is. Secondly, that God is for us, therefore who can be against us? And thirdly, is nothing, beloved, will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to know those three truths, those promises given to us in the book of Romans, as you face trial, and you can endure any trial that comes upon you. A writer of the Hebrews also says that we are to be those that look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Notice what he says here in chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice this. Consider him. That's to think about him. It's to ponder the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to look upon him. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become discouraged and weary in your soul. Are you weary this morning? Are you discouraged this morning in your soul? The admonition to the writer of the Hebrews, it says, look unto Jesus. That's the prescription for discouragement. That's the prescription for worry. It's not running off to a Christian counselor. It's running to God in His Word and embracing the promises and looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we find comfort for the battles that we face from day to day. So James, if you look at our text this morning, he gives us verses 2 through 4, three principles there that we need to have as we face trials. We need a joyful attitude. You see this in your outline there. Secondly, we need a knowing mind. And thirdly, we need a submissive will. And these are broken up very nicely here in this one text. Notice what he says beginning at verse 2, the joyful attitude. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's actually endurance. Now, the Greek term there, hupomone, means a continuance. Even through the trials, that produces an endurance in the Christian life. Is very reminiscent to someone who is a runner. Or we have a swimmer here this morning. A swimmer. And I'll use that as an example. And the more she swims, the more she's able to swim. The further that she goes, the further she was enabled to go. A runner is the same way. The more he runs, the further he is enabled to run. And what James is saying here, that the more trials that come upon us, the more we are enabled as the people of God to endure the afflictions and trials and difficulties that inevitably will come upon us in this veil of tears. He says when. Notice that. When you fall into various trials. Not if. It's when. It's just a matter of time. Now, I've said before, there are three things that I know for sure that are going to happen to you in this life. The first thing is that you will die unless Christ returns. The second thing is that you will pay taxes. And the third thing is that you are going to go through trials. Now, for you younger ones here this morning, if you haven't experienced the death of a loved one, or a relative, or a family member, you will. If you haven't paid taxes yet, keep working, because you will. If you haven't experienced the severity of the trials of the Christian life, keep on living. Because as you run the race, you will endure and you will have the affliction of trials come upon you. James is preparing us, not if they come, but when. They come to all of us as the people of God. And you need to be forearmed of how you are to live your life when the trials do come upon. It's in the aorist imperative, which could be once and for all time, consider it joy. Once for all time, okay? Right here, right now, let's consider this. That we are commanded by our God to consider all trials a joy because of what God is doing through them. Now, how difficult is that for your mind? How difficult it is for your mind is something that is revealing to your own soul. It reveals to you that you either have not believed and trusted the promises that are spoken in the Word about suffering, or you just have not exercised yourself as you ought in the Scriptures to be forearmed for the trials that are going to come upon you. So consider it and count it all joy when you fall into trials. You need to have a disciplined mind is what he's saying here. Count it all joy. Consider it all joy when you fall into the various trials. Now, the various trials he's speaking of here, he's not talking about the how many trials that you're going to go through. He speaks about the diversity of the trials that you're going to go through. In other words, and you hear this saying today in our day and age, if it's not one thing, it's another. Yeah, that's the idea right there. If it's not this, it's that. If I'm not dealing with this over here, then this something over here is happening here. And when I think things are clear, then this all clouds up, and then I got to deal with this over here. It's a continual happening in the life of the Christian. The various simply means the diversity. It's like Joseph's coat. It was multicolored. It comes in all different ways and fashions in our lives, don't they? One after another. And 1 week you deal with something and you might have some time of respite, and then something else comes a week or two later and you have to deal with that. And James is telling us to count it joy knowing that God is at work in us. Now, you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4? If you have your Bibles, turn to that text. Philippians chapter 4. And beginning at verse 11, notice what the Apostle Paul says about the difficulties and the trials that he was to face. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Have you learned that? Have you, as the people of God, you this morning, have you learned to be content in whatever state you are? He says, I have learned. Notice, it's an exercise of the mind. I have learned in whatever state I am. It just didn't come. You know, we have a tendency to pray for patience and think that it's, okay, I got patience now. That's not how God works patience in us. He works patience in us by the trials that we suffer. Paul learned to be content. How did he learn? He learned to be abased when he was abased. He learned to be full or rich or to have all things when he had all things. And this is what he says. He've learned in whatever state to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's the context there? Abounding and abasing, isn't it? Is having plenty and then being in a situation where you have not so much. That you are lacking some things material-wise or for food or whatever it may be. This is the context that Paul says that I have learned in whatever state that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse is so taken out of context today, like you can get up on a building and jump off and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No. It's in the context here of knowing how to live your life, whether you have much or you have little, because your trust is not in your things, your trust is in the God who gives the things. Count it all joy. If you can't rejoice in your trials, it's because your values are wrong. You know, our values determine our evaluations. What we value determines how we evaluate certain things. And it's very important that, as Paul says, that we are to joy in the Lord always. Philippians 4. I will rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Paul, when he was in the prison cell with Barnabas in the inner prison in stocks, they were rejoicing and singing hymns and psalms and praise to God. Are we equipped this morning, beloved, to count it all joy when we go through trials because we have a knowing mind? We know what the teaching of Scripture is. We know that trials will come, but we know that God is for us. We know that difficulties and persecutions will come, but we know that God will turn all things together for our good. We know that there are going to be times of struggle and difficulty, but we know that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that this morning, beloved? You need to know that. You younger people, you need to know that as you face day to day in the Christian life. Notice what he says, when you fall into various trials. The fall, or the Greek term peripipto, means to be surrounded all around. That's where we get the word perimeter. To be surrounded on all sides. It's kind of like Jonah when he was in the belly, the fish's belly, and the seaweed was all wrapped all around him. That's what it means when you fall into it. It's something that hits you. It breaks the tranquility of life and smacks you down when you least expect it. It's when you get home and you have a phone call on your answering machine that just floors you. You know, it's very clear even in the life of Job when it first starts out in that text that it says when he heard about all the things that happened to him, then Job arose. What does that mean, he arose? He was floored. He was flattened at the news of all that had happened to him. And so prepare yourself with that knowing mind. Notice with a joyful attitude. And notice with the knowing mind that we need to have, with the Belgian Confession also speaks, that we need to know that God has appointed all things. That He has an appointment for everything. We're to rejoice in the Lord knowing that God has in control of all things. Now, the one most wondrous, beautiful doctrine in Scripture when I came into the Reformed Church was understanding the providence of God. Because in understanding the providence of God, it teaches us to be a people of patience. We're not a very patient people. You go through a drive-thru. They used to have in California at the Taco Bell a little sign there that had the second hand. And they guaranteed you have your food in less than 30 seconds. Something's not right here. And we can complaining because we don't get our food in 30 seconds? Well, boy, who knows what they're cooking up back there if they have to do it up in 30 seconds. But you think about the society in which we live. We're impatient people. We want what we want, and when do we want it? We want it now. I don't have to wait. I don't want to wait. You teach your children that, don't you? Hey, you know, you can get a car, but just wait. Look around. No, I want this one, Dad. It's a piece of junk. So this is the one I want. Just wait. Maybe something else will come along. No, they don't want the things. They want it now. They don't want to wait. And that's how we are too. We need to learn to be a people that are patient, because through all of it, God is working His good and perfect and acceptable will. Ever get in line in Walmart? I mean, you know, living in California for just kind of warps the mind, I tell you. But living out there, dealing with people in Walmart, I told Maria one time, they need to really have an etiquette class for people who shop at Walmart. And they need to have horns that are put on each one of those carts. And there are three different horns to signal three different things that are going on in each aisle. Because people are so disrespectful and rude when they're shopping, aren't they? They leave their cart right in the middle, like, I don't care who's got a pass, and I don't care how many people are behind me. I got to get my mayonnaise over here. You can wait. So they don't have any patience for anybody, and nobody has patience for them. But I tell you, it's very trying when you're standing in line and they open up a new cash register, and what happens? People run to the cash register. I think I was next in line, but this guy's going to beat me. They're going to push and shove to get to the first cash register that opens up. How am I to respond to that? Well, I know what I want to do. There are times you want to take the cart and ram them out. No, next aisle. I'm next. But that's not what the Scripture teaches us. Because you realize that in this event, God is providentially working this for His honor and glory and your good. In that, in every single event, I don't think we grasp that. You know, we look and we like to see the miracles of Jesus in Scripture, but to me, what's even more miraculous is God is orchestrating every single event in this world for His honor and glory and the good of His church. Every single event. You know how many events happen at every single moment of every day, and God is orchestrating all that for His glory and the good of His church? You need to have that knowing mind. You need to know that God is working for your good. You need to have that patient endurance. You need, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, to know that you're not your own, but you belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces the endurance. It's the pressing down of our faith that produces the endurance to continue on in the faith. And it doesn't mean the word patience, as we like to understand it. It doesn't mean sitting idly by. That's why the Greek term endurance is a better translation. Because you continue to pray. Does the Scripture call us to pray always? The Scriptures tell us to persevere, to continue to go forward, to occupy until I come, as the Lord tells His church. We are continually worshiping the Lord. We are continually gathering together on the Lord's Day. We are continually our fellowship with one another. We are continuing as the people of God submitting to the apostles' doctrine. We are continually praying to our God even as we go through the times of trials and troubles in this life. It's a blessing to know this, beloved, right here in the text. It's not a mystery to us. This testing produces endurance. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Again, knowing you can see it, the apostle speaks not only here, James not only teaches here in chapter 1, but the apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 teaches this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Notice this verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Can you say that? Phlipsis? That's the Greek term of trials, difficulties, and pressure in your life. Pressure. Can you glory in pressure? You can if you know, as he says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You see, so this knowing mind, the joyful attitude is spurred on by a knowing mind. And the more that we know the God that we worship, the more that we will trust the God that we worship, the more that we will be satisfied with our condition, knowing that He is the one who has placed us exactly where we are, from moment to moment, day by day. You know, you called me as your pastor not by chance. I'm not here by chance. I didn't receive your call by chance. It has all been by the design of God. And we need to recognize these things in our lives. This brings us patience in our tribulation. And perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Now, do you know that? Are you experiencing that in your life? Are you living according to it? Then James says, then let it have its perfect work. Notice what he says in verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work. Let it do what God has designed it to do in your life. Approach it with an attitude of joy, knowing that God has a purpose in this, beloved, to conform you more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are referred to in Scripture as clay. And God is referred to as the potter. Now you know there's trouble right there, don't you? Clay is to be molded. Clay is to be shaped. And one is shaped in this way, and one is shaped in that way. But there's pressure that's applied in making the mold as the potter designs it to be. And so pressure is applied, and you need to have that understanding mind of knowing that He's shaping you into that image of Jesus Christ, which He has called you as an individual member of the body of Christ to be. I think simply meditating on the truth that God has a purpose in all of our trials. You know, we had the rainstorms that came through. Crops got flooded out. God has a purpose in that. We may not know what it is in this life. We know, generally speaking, it's for the glory of God and the good of His church. But specifically, we may not know. Don't bring up accusations. Well, because of sin, this is what happened. Not necessarily. We see that with Job. We see with a man born blind in John 9. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Well, neither. It's not because of a specific sin that he was born blind. It's for the glory of God, Jesus said. This man was born blind specifically for the glory of God. And so we need to recognize that God is working these things for His honor and glory. And in one way this, and one way that. And I think that the Lord takes delight and pleasure in breaking us up bit by bit, that in so doing that the rough edges are knocked off and we are being shaped and fashioned after the image of Christ. And the bits that are knocked off, that really becomes food and encouragement for some other soul in the church that is dealing with discouragement. Patience is going to have its perfect work. When the stretching comes, let it happen. Let it do what God has designed it to do. And the more you fight, the harder the difficulty becomes in your life. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, the perfect there doesn't mean the perfection that will be in glorification. It means maturity. And so, with the whole shape of trials in the Christian life, God is molding and shaping and conforming us into the very image of His Son. And that's the image that you're a true believer, you delight and desire to be. Oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, to think like Jesus, even through trials and difficulties. As you go through the trial and you think about this, beloved, be as the example of Christ. If this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But if it can't, this cup must come upon me. Thy will be done. That's what we pray every Lord's Day. That's part of the speech of the Christian, is that God's will be done in our lives. And His will is done from day to day. And sometimes we just don't like it. And that we need to repent of. We need to turn from always more and more, knowing it's God who works in us to will and to work of His good pleasure. Beloved, we're like those being wine, how it's made. And wine, it sets in there and the dregs fall down to the bottom. And the dregs are used for vinegar. But it's through the pouring process from bottle to bottle that the settlement, more and more, the wine becomes sweet through the process of time. And that's what the Lord is doing with us. The dregs are more and more settling to the bottom as we're being poured from one vessel to the next. Let it happen. God has ordained it for His glory and the good of the church of Jesus Christ. So, three things: joyful attitude, a knowing mind,
and a submissive will. These are the way that James teaches those that were dispersed abroad to confront the trials that are going to go on in their life. And that's how we confront them also. Amen. Shall we pray?